But now this heavy-wheeled plow, with its iron plowshare, also is going to call for a much greater proliferation of iron in this society. And again, more smithing. So we can see connections between the use of the plow and all of the advantages that it brings, and then some of the requirements that flow from this. Water mills were very widely used from the 11th century in some parts of Northern Europe. For example, in the Low Countries, windmills, of course, were used, but water mills were fairly widely used. Now, mills demanded engineering gains in terms of gearing. If we have a flow of water, I can lay a water wheel parallel to that flow of water, which makes the gearing to turn a mill wheel fairly easy. But that's a very inefficient way to turn a water wheel. If I set the water wheel perpendicular to the flow of water, that is a much more efficient way to turn the water wheel, but I now have to turn vertical motion into horizontal motion. I have to do some very elaborate gearing. I also have to be able to run my mill wheel at a common speed, whether the water is running very fast or very slow. And indeed, if the water itself is running very slow, or if the water supply is somewhat unpredictable, I've got to engage in a little hydraulic engineering. That is to say, I've got to create mill races. I've got to make the water go past my water wheel, whether the water wants to or not, because I want to do my milling when I want to do it, not when the river says that I can. So a variety of technologies, you see, are spawned by the need to use more mills. The need to use more mills. Why do we need these mills? Well, mills were imperative because of more grain. More and more land being brought under cultivation, more and more sort of technological inputs making the land that is actually being plowed, being farmed, more productive, is producing more grain. A rising population needs more food. Bread is the staple of the diet. Bread is baked from flour. I've got to grind all that grain to make flour. So again, one factor drives another factor that drives another factor, and we begin to see the interconnectedness of the elements of this economy. Land itself began to be more efficiently used. In early European history, by that I mean in Europe, let's say in Northern Europe, at the time of the Romans, at the time of the Greeks, agricultural communities would very often farm a particular area quite intensively, for a brief period of time, and then move. Now, they didn't necessarily move very far. They might move just a few kilometers, but they would move. Farm fairly intensively, and move. Farm, and move. Slowly but surely, and as we begin moving into the Middle Ages, communities began to anchor themselves. And for a long period of time, they tended to practice what we would call two-field agriculture. That is to say, about half your land was plowed and about half of it was left fallow. Now, on that fallow land, you would also perhaps run your animals so that animal manure would provide some enrichment to the soil. Household wastes and so on might also be spread on that land to provide some enrichment. But basically, about half of the available land would be under the plow at a given moment. In the Carolingian era, we begin to see the proliferation of the three-field system. But again, mostly on the estates of the Carolingian family, mostly on the estates of the church. By the High Middle Ages, after perhaps a year 1000, the year 1050, we begin to see the three-field system very widely used across Europe. Now, what exactly is the three-field system? Well, you divide the available land of an estate into three parts, all right? Roughly equal parts, presumably. One of these is left fallow. One of these is planted in winter crops. And one of these is planted in spring crops. And you work your way through a rotation this way. Now, right away, you can see that from 50%, we go to 66 2/3% of our land under the plow. Second, by balancing winter and spring crops, we guarantee against one season of terrible weather, against one season of blight, you know, if you get two in a row, well, you're in big trouble. But if you get one, you're still going to get a crop during the course of that year. It also means that one can vary the agricultural regime. That is to say, one can plant different kinds of crops and have different kinds of things coming in at different points in the year.